We all know good and well that, you know, white folks have had their hands on African American history, and we've seen how they whitewash a lot of things.
That was young activist Brittany Farrell talking about who should tell the stories of African American history. And this is Cut and Paste. I'm Nancy Fowler.
And I'm Willis Ryder Arnold. And one of the reasons we opened with that is because St. Louis's African American history is something that has been on a lot of people's minds these days. It's been a year where, well, St. Louis has been making African American history. So we've decided to actually look into that. Nancy, you're working on a story about the Griot, right?
Yeah, the Griot Museum of Black History has been around in St. Louis for nearly 20 years, and it's pretty much a one-woman show. Founder Lois Connolly has been keeping the thing afloat.
So it sounds like it's not really well-funded.
No, not at all. They are really struggling every month, really, to keep the doors open. But Connolly feels like it's so important that an African-American-operated institution tell these stories because they tell them from an African-American point of view. I mean, for example, they have this depiction of a slave ship and the slave hold where the people are tightly chained together and there's rats and blood, and it's just a horrific scene. But in this particular museum's depiction, above all of that, on the deck, something else is going on.
On top of the deck, you see one of the enslaved Africans who said, "I've had enough. I'm going to die. Either way, I'm going to die. I'm going to give my life trying to escape, or I'm going to die in the hold of that ship." And so that's what you see up there. And I think that was important for the visitor to understand that, you know, yeah, we're not all docile, and we were in a fate. We were on a journey that we didn't know where we were going and didn't know what fate lied ahead of us. But we sometimes took action on our own. And I think that that's a theme that as you go through the museum, you will see portrayed in different ways. People who came from a situation that was less than favorable, who, in spite of it, were able to thrive and survive.
That was Lois Connolly, the founder and director of the Griot Museum of Black History, talking about, you know, the importance of what they do there. But I know, you know, they're not alone in telling this story. In fact, there's going to be some new stories told, right, Willis?
Yeah, the Missouri History Museum is launching a $10 million initiative to better include African American history in their own work. They already have reached half of that goal. And Melanie Adams with the History Museum talks a little bit about how they're not looking for famous stories. They're looking for the stories of everyday life.
Oh, okay. What does she have to say about that?
She's mainly interested in kind of the objects that will tell the story. So we'll hear from her.
Well, one of the things you have to look at when you're telling the story of African-Americans in St. Louis, one thing, and this is not only African-Americans, but anyone when you're looking at history, people assume we're going for the famous people only. But really, we're trying to tell the story of everyone in the region. So it's hard to say, I want X person's things. It's easier for our curators to be able to talk about the artifacts and what stories those artifacts tell. So here's a perfect example. If we were telling a story about African-American migration, so African-Americans who moved from the South up to St. Louis, you could use something as easy as a suitcase from someone who moved. You may not know that person's name, and that suitcase was known by a famous person, but you're able to tell the story of that move and what it meant to the family to move, put everything they owned in that one suitcase and move to a city where they knew no one. And so it's not only, I think people have this perception that there's like the famous thing, like you want, you know, the gavel from the Dred Scott decision, or you know what I mean? Like something that, but it's not. It's a lot of it is very everyday objects that really help tell the story of the community.
So that was Melanie Adams of the Missouri History Museum discussing kind of what that institution is looking for to better expand their contribution to recording African American history in St. Louis.
There are some in the African American community, both locally and on a national level, that don't agree with larger institutions telling the story. And in fact, Samuel Black, who's head of the Association of African American Museums, says that too often African American culture is only valuable in terms of it being a product.
Black history and culture is seen so much as a commodity, but not necessarily as an asset. And what I mean by that is I sort of, you know, unscientifically monitor popular culture, everything from television commercials to advertisements and so forth. If black music doesn't play a major role in advertising in the United States, and what does? You know, you can hardly see a commercial nowadays that doesn't have some aspect of black music attached to it. But that's part of the commodity aspect, where there's a value placed on it because there's something to reap off of black music, or to exploit black music for one reason or another. That doesn't impact black museums. So black museums are not treated in the same way of being viewed as having a great value.
So Samuel Black was pretty critical of this idea of larger institutions getting funding for this sort of thing. Who else did you speak with?
Well, I talked with local young activist Brittany Farrell, who was a co-founder of Millennial Activists United following the death of Michael Brown. She's still very much involved in the movement, but she also feels it's very important for African-American institutions to present this kind of information. And in fact, she wants other people in the movement to turn their attention to the griot.
We all know good and well that, you know, white folks have had their hands on African American history, and we've seen how they whitewash a lot of things. And I was speaking with a good friend of mine, Reverend Mike Kinman from Christ Church Cathedral downtown, and we were talking about how we could possibly use some of the young people that we've gotten to know in this current movement, possibly put them in a position to where they could have a learning opportunity, and also to funnel some income, some funding, and some traffic through the griot. So we were talking about maybe we can have like an oral history project out of the griot, or we could try to, we have so many artists here in the city, we could possibly put together some type of display. I do think that if we continue to neglect this institution, my fear is that it will be no more, and that's really bothersome for me, considering the fact that it's not very often you come across a black-owned museum like we have here.
So there is a disagreement. It sounds a lot like people are really concerned with whether or not major institutions can represent this perspective.
And it's kind of a question that's just going to be resolved as things go along. These interviews are from a story that I'm working on that looks into the griot, how it struggles, why it matters, and we'll have that story coming up very soon at stlpublicradio.org and on the radio as well.
This is Cut and Paste, produced by Nancy Fowler
and Willis Ryder Arnold,
with the help of our editor, Donna Carando.
The opening music was by Eric Hall.
You can find Cut and Paste online at stlpublicradio.org or at any number of podcast services.